So this morning, we hear a very important word from God the Father to God the Son, actually speaking to the apostles, today being the day of the Transfiguration. Peter and James and John saw Jesus transfigured before him, and they heard these very important words. "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Cornelius also raises a pretty important question of where to derive your value or your self-worth as a human being. Is it through work, money, professional accomplishments? It seems like in the 21st century, those things are valued above all else. And it can make life pretty hectic, pretty involved. I know a number of people in particular trying just to raise their families and to make a living have very little energy for anything else. I remember a time when I first joined the workforce after college. I'm not going to tell you how many years ago that was now, because that number is getting higher. But I remember what it was like going to work for the first time and seeing this kind of hustle culture starting to take root in our society. You know, the idea that this is where you are to be, and your friends are the people at the desk around you. And they really, really value those professional accomplishments. But at the end of the day, at some point I would go home. And I would be just in my apartment, go outside, and hear the birds chirping, feel the warm weather, particular time of year. And at the same time, I also felt alone, because I was alone. And saying to myself, is there anything else here worth paying attention to? Is there anything else to life? And fortunately, I had a church. Being a Christian, I knew that to go to church and experience the experience fellowship and love, build friendships there. Because no, the church is perfect for that. The church is a place where we come and hear those words lived out. "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Seems though in today's day and age, this hustle culture and this workism has just gotten more intense. So much more intense that people are pushing back against it. The other thing that I noticed is that the church is also kind of a perfect antidote, because the church tells us where we do derive our value. Not in what we can do, but in who we are as human beings. It gives a very alternative life to what the world tells us. Where the world tells us to go, 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 earn, 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 get, 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 the church tells us something very different. The church tells us that you are loved, worthy of dignity and respect, because you are a child of God, made in God's image. We hear this, and this is all played out in this one sentence we hear in the scriptures this morning. This one sentence that we hear God the Father saying about God the Son. And it tells us several things. "This is my Son, my beloved, whom I have felt pleased. Listen to him." So the first thing it tells us is what goes on within the Trinity. Now this is a statement from God the Father being said to God the Son. And it echoes what was said in Christ's baptism as well, where we get another glimpse of the Trinity. But what it tells us is that within the Trinity there is this love being passed He is telling you this because as a human being, you have worth, dignity, and respect just by the very nature being made in God's image. And this goes back even to the very, very beginnings. If you remember from the beginning of Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth, you know, he started creating all these things and they were good. Now, first God said, "Let there be light." He separated the light from the darkness. And he said, "This is good." Then God separated the waters from above, from the waters below, and they made oceans. Then he separated the oceans so they could gather into one place, and then there was some land appeared. God said, "This is good." Not God created all the creatures of the sea and all the plant life and all the animals, and God kept saying, "This is good." Then God created human beings and said, "Let us make humankind, male and female, in our image." And God said, "It is very good." Not just good, but made human beings. God said, "This is very good." And we are made in the image of God, we derive our value from that. The other thing that we hear on this Transfiguration Sunday, God the Father saying, "God the Son, whom I am well pleased, listen to him." Saying Jesus has something really important to say here. Listen to him. And so it makes me think, okay, he said a lot of things, so we need to kind of narrow it down for a sermon and say, what specifically should we be listening to? And I would suggest some statements from the Sermon on the Mount and one of three statements. One thing that Jesus said was, "How blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, he didn't say, "How blessed are the rich." He didn't say, "How blessed are the," I learned this term just yesterday, the centimillionaires. You know, the ones that have like $100 billion in net worth. That's a lot. He didn't say, "How blessed are they." He said, "How blessed are the poor." Jesus didn't say, "How blessed are the accomplished," the ones that are, you know, well thought of all throughout, you know, human history. He's saying, "How blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That's because everybody else seems to get accolades and some affirmation from the world around them, don't they? What he's saying about blessed are the poor, what he's saying is, as human beings, made in the image of God, male and female, you have worth, dignity, and respect. How blessed are you? Jesus also said, "How blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Something else well worth listening to. How blessed are the peacemakers. And the thing about peacemakers is what they do is they bring people together. And they build community, relationships, and friendships between people. They help people listen to one another and understand each other. They help to resolve conflicts and to, let's say, when they do their work, it's done for the betterment of people in general, not just to build up their own sense of self. Remember a time going back to my own first job. One meeting I was in, it always stuck with me quite a bit because it sounded just so unpleasant. And one of our vice presidents was talking to us, trying to motivate us, and saying, "I want you to wake up every morning and look in the mirror and ask yourself how you're going to beat our competition into the ground." I said, "Wow, I don't believe you. I don't want to do that. I just want to make good products." Jesus didn't say, "How blessed are those who win all the time." He said, "Blessed are those who are the peacemakers." Then the final thing, so we have blessed are the poor, blessed are the peacemakers, and then number three that I'm going to mention today is what makes a person great. Jesus Christ was describing what makes a person great. And the apostles were arguing amongst themselves. They're saying, "Which one of us is the greatest?" I can just imagine Jesus at that point going, "Oh, come on, guys. We really have to go over this that whoever is great amongst you must make themselves the least and be a servant to all. Because the thing about servants, like peacemakers, a servant builds up people around them. The servants, when they do their work, there's always work to do. There's always things you can do and accomplish. They accomplish not for their own self, not for their own aggrandizement or their own enrichment, but the servants are the ones that build things up for the betterment of others. Servants look at the full picture, the whole community, and say, what can I do right now that will make a difference? A real difference in the lives. And this is so important because it keeps coming back to the same thing. Every person we see, every person sitting here today is a child of God, made in God's image, worthy of respect and dignity. What I want for you today is to claim that truth. So every time you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror, just tell yourself that. I am a beloved child of God. I have worth. I have dignity. This truth is just life-changing, recognizing how deeply God cares about you, how much God feels and cares about you, knitting you together in your mother's womb, ransoming you from the powers of this world to corrupt and destroy the children of God. Being one who loves you so deeply, they sent his son to live, teach, die for us. Because we don't need hustle culture to tell us that we have worth and value. Because your value doesn't lie in enriching yourself or enriching others or having accolades and all kinds of professional accomplishments. Your worth comes from being a child of God, made in God's image. It is worth it to be that. Leave behind the hustle culture, the workism, the idea that your only worth is in what you can do. Because your worth lies in who you are as a child of God. We need that message.